Do you have friends that you like always wonder what's going on in their minds? Do you have any crazy friends? How many people have crazy friends? You have, but half of you are crazy, right? So like if you're friends, then there they are. They're right there next to you, right? Everyone has crazy friends that are like fun, but they're always like spontaneous. And you're always wondering like, what's going on in that dude's head? Like, what's he gonna do right now? And there's the passage we're gonna look at tonight is entitled Lose Your Mind. That's the name of our new series, all right? So at first, I just want to tell you this. Here's a disclaimer at the beginning. I'm not saying go be like wild and nuts and do dumb things. I'm not saying that through our series that's coming up. But there is like this deal where you have to be have like a little bit of a risk-taking, adventurous personality in a way where you're like willing to just kind of take everything that you have and lay it on the ground and walk away from it and trade it in for something new. Because there's something about the gospel that is that, where Jesus is telling people, hey, take everything you have and know and love and lay it on the ground and walk away from it for something new. And it's something that all of us can do, but it is this thing where you have to be willing to even take your own mind and the way you think and your opinions and all this like stuff that you've formed in your brain about the world and life. And you have to be willing to say, hey, I am a broken person. And even my thoughts are marred by sin. So I need to be able to say, hey, Jesus, I'm willing to even take my mind and lose it to take your mind and think like you. Because I want to follow you more than I want to just be unique and have my own thoughts and my own opinions. I want to follow Jesus Christ and think like Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, Paul is about to blow our minds in this passage, so I hope you guys are ready. We're going to study it over the next few weeks, and tonight we're just going to open it up. And it's talking about having the mind of Jesus. I already gave that away. And can you guys show that picture real quick of me in Guatemala? So way back when I started doing Guatemala trips with students, we went down to the jungle this one time, and that's a spear in my hand. And so we got there and it had rained a whole lot, and so the roads were kind of washed out, and we're stuck in our camp in the jungle, and we couldn't go anywhere till the roads were fixed. So as we're chilling, like I could tell students are getting a little bored and like antsy and starting to do stuff, and I'm like, all right, we better find something to do. So I got everybody together, grouped them all up. And I got a bunch of sticks like that, and like big ones, good ones. And I gave them all a machete, and we took our machetes and we sat around and we started whittling the ends of those things and turning those sticks into really sharp spears. And we were going to go out into the jungle, and I said, here's what we're going to do. There are some really cool animals called tepesquintles. Can you say that? It's fun. Tepesquintly. It's an awesome word, right? It rolls off the tongue. And so we take our spears and we go after these tepesquintlies, which are these little fat birds that taste so good over an open fire. I mean, this bird's so fat, tastes like it's just wrapped in bacon. It's that good. You just throw it over there and you eat it. And I'm like, we're going to go out and as a group, we're going to go find these tepesquintlies, but they're tricky little birds. They'll run around. They're really smart. You really got to get in their heads to know how to hunt it right and to catch these things. And we have to use spears to do it. And so we made our spears and I jumped up on the rock and I was giving my like, you know, that speech right before the hunt. And you're like, let's go get them. Who's with me? And everyone's like, yeah, let's go. And we got our spears. It was a dangerous situation. I should have got fired. But anyway, we went out there. And then, but one thing they didn't know after a couple hours that we spent hunting was that there's no such thing as a tepesquintly. Like it doesn't exist. I just needed to kill time. And so a tepesquintly is actually this big rodent. It's like a big hamster and it is delicious and it does taste like it's wrapped in bacon, but it's not a bird. I don't think they would have gone after rodents. So I called them. So I kind of just made that up for a while for them so we could like kill time. Sorry guys. But the point was, right? The point was it was fun. And we had fun trying to get in the mind of that bird and figure it out, even though it was a fiction bird, right? But when it comes to hunting, you have to do that. You have to know what that animal's thinking. If you're deer hunting, you're sitting in the stand and you're thinking about where that deer's going to be and how he acts and how he behaves. If you're turkey hunting, how to call that turkey in just right. You got to get in the mind of that bird you're tracking. And if you're trying to track after Jesus, if you're trying to follow Jesus, it is just as important that you get in the mind of Jesus. And he knows that. Which is why a passage like we're going to study tonight was written, because he knows you need his mind to follow after him. And so he says, I'm going to make that possible. I'm going to help you guys so you can think like me, so you can have my mind and think the way I think and have my opinions and know the right thing to do. And so Paul is writing this letter to these Philippians, and he's telling them that one of the most important things they can do with their lives is to have the mind of their Savior that they're following. And so I want you guys to read with me Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read together verses 1 to 11. That's going to be our series over the next few weeks, but we're only looking at two verses tonight. But let's read the whole thing just to get some context. It says this, "So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So as we look at this and we see that first verse, Paul starts off and it almost seems like he's asking us a question in a way, but it's not a question at all. Paul knows very well what he's doing. Look what he says. So if there's any, and then he's going to give us a list of a couple things. But he knows very well that there is some. Here's what I mean by that. When I was a little kid, I lived in this cool neighborhood that had, I had one of the best neighbors in the world. It was like going back to Mayberry and like Andy Griffith's show and Miss B or Aunt B or whatever her name was, like lived next door. This lady was always on every Saturday morning at her like window. Her kitchen was in the front of her house and had this window that opened up to the street. And she was always right there and she was baking pies. How many of you guys like pie? Huh? How do you not like pie? Pie is the greatest thing on the planet, right? Pizza pie, apple pie. It's all good, right? What's your favorite pie? Let me hear a favorite pie. Apple. He's a traditional cherry. Oh, I like that. I like that. It's a little different. Anybody else? Peanut butter pie, anybody? That's a thing. Okay. That's a thing, right? That's a thing. All right. Pie's delicious. So if you don't like pie, we need to talk later. But I would smell this pie every single Saturday. And so I got wise to her little plan that she was doing. And I would walk by every Saturday, just walk up the street, you know, just wave, smile, big old smile. Hoping every time that she'd be like, "Would you like a piece of pie?" And she never did. So I kept walking by. I was like, I'm not giving up that easy, man. Every Saturday, I knew her plan. That window would come open. I could smell that pie coming out the window. She'd make a couple of them. One would be like sitting there cooling off. And I'd be like, "Oh, come on." And finally one Saturday, I was like, "You need anything? You know, is your lawn need mowed or anything like that?" Like that type of deal, just trying to kiss up. I was like, hint, hint, like, give me some pie, woman. And so finally one day, it was like angels singing from heaven. She was like, "Would you like a piece of pie?" I was like, "Well, if you have any, you know, like, okay, wait, I knew you had some pie. I've been stalking you for like 3 months over this pie, you know what I'm saying?" But I was like, if you have any, I feel like that's what Paul's doing right now. You know, he knows we have this. Jesus has already given you these couple things. So these are our pies. That's how we're going to refer to them tonight. These couple pies, I think there's four of them that we're going to look at, that he knows very well. They're right there. They're in your hands. Jesus took them and put them in your hands. These are things Jesus has already done for you if you believe in him. But Paul's going to say, so if there is any, what he's saying is, I know there is. If you follow Jesus, you have these things already. So what he's really telling us is use them. Start acting like Jesus. You say you follow him, but he's walking toward love and he's on this path of love. So if you're not walking toward love, you're not on the same path. You ain't following Jesus. He's taking these things and putting them, he's put them in your hands and in your mind. So go ahead and use them. So if there's any, and look at these pies that he talks about right now. The first one he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ. And he doesn't just mean like a pat on the back, like Jesus shows up at your house in the morning on your way to school. He's like, "Ah, good job, you know, like you can do it today. Yeah, attaboy." He's not talking about that. Encouragement actually is like this stirring to activity. Causes you to get up and be crazy. Think about like your school year. Have you ever had like a kid in your class who's the class clown? And when he makes people start laughing, everybody starts laughing, and teacher's like, hey, you kids be quiet, you know? And then you can't stop laughing because now your teacher's saying to stop laughing. So now you really can't stop laughing, and just gets crazier and crazier. And you got kids like swinging from the chandeliers and like is going nuts. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in that situation in class before. It's that one kid who spurs everybody to action. Whatever they do, they're just funny. They do that thing. My dog is crazy. You guys know this already. But my little dog, Brady, man, we'll be sitting on the couch. He loves to watch football. I mean, he'll sit there like his face. He turns and watches the ball. He knows where the ball is. It's crazy. But of course, you know, he's named after Tom Brady, so that's why. But anyway, let's not talk about that too early. It's too soon. It's too soon. But so he'll sit there, he'll watch football, or he'll just sleep. He snores like a man. The dude is like, I mean, he's so loud. I'll be on the phone with someone and he's snoring on the couch and like, what is going on? And I was like, it's my dog. And they're like, what? You know? And so he'll be snoozing. And all I have to do is talk to him in like that playful voice, you know, like you do with dogs. And that little sucker jumps up and he's jumping off the walls, running into the door. He just goes nuts. So with like one word. So I know, don't talk to Brady when he's sleeping. Like, you don't do it because he'll go crazy. So I feel like Paul is using that right here. It's this encouragement in Christ is that idea where you see what Jesus did for you and you can't help but act. You've got to get up off the couch and be like, Jesus, I can't believe you did this. You died on a cross for me. You rose from the dead. Your Holy Spirit lives in me to empower me. Like, that's getting me going, not just emotionally, but like my entire being is going, I can't believe this. What do you want me to do? It's stirring me to action because I've seen Christ's work in me. I know what he's done for me. And so people who follow Jesus do so because they saw how incredible Jesus is. And they're like, let's go. Let me follow you. I can see him right now. Can you picture Jesus walking by the disciples who are sitting there working? And they're about their thing, man. One dude was a tax collector taking taxes, Matthew. And as Jesus walked by, he's like, you gonna follow me, bro? The dude left everything right there at the table and just followed Jesus. He was spurred to action. Some other guys are sitting in their boat with their dad. And they're mending nets. And Jesus walks by. He's like, you going to follow me? They left their poor dad sitting there all by himself in the boat. And they walked off. And they just followed Jesus. Didn't even say bye. They were spurred to action by Jesus. And Paul is saying this first pie is that you have seen this unbelievable Savior who's blown your mind and you're like, yes, I want to follow you. And it spurred you to action to respond to Jesus. So if that has happened to you, if you believe in Christ, he's saying, which I know you have. I know you got the pie in your hand of being spurred to action in Jesus. I've seen it, he says. So my question to some of you guys tonight, let's just camp there on that first pie that we know you have if you follow Jesus. Is he telling you to get off the couch tonight? Is he telling you to wake up? Is he looking down at you with that voice going, come on, let's go? Calling you to stand up and live for him and be spurred to action in a way that says, Jesus, I just want to live for you right now. My country is a mess. My community is a mess. I didn't get to go to finish school this year at school. This world needs believers to stand up and be spurred to action right now and not sit on our couch. We need to get up and say, yes, Lord. But you know what else this does? It says that we spur others to action because you get to carry the love of Jesus. So as you bring it to someone else and you get to introduce them to Jesus, they get called up off the couch and spurred to action to follow Christ too. It's a big calling. It's awesome. And he's not left you alone in it. He's giving you the Holy Spirit to make it possible for you. Will you get off the couch? Will you call others to get above the couch? Have this new mind that Jesus has given you. Look at the second pie. He says, if there's any comfort from love. And he's not just talking about like a big old hug that makes you feel better. You have a person in your life that does that. Just give the best hugs. We went to a prayer service at the Greater St. Paul Church up here in like Cocoa Village, and they had a hug team. It was the best thing in the world. Like, you don't even know. We went up there to like have prayer with them, and as you're walking up to the front doors, these ladies come out front and they're just like, we're the hug team. And these women just like giving hugs like there's no tomorrow. They gave the best hugs, dude. Like, some were like little grandmas, but they could grab you and just break your back. Like, they were the best huggers, and they made you feel like you're at church. Like, you're loved. People, like, we can't do that right now because there's social distancing. I get it. But we can give, like, air hugs, you know. But, like, I can't wait to go back to that church once this whole thing's over and just get a hug from the hug team because they were awesome, you know. But that's not exactly what this is talking about. It's not just a hug, that comforting hug of love from Jesus. This is deeper. This is looking at the fact that you have eternity promised to you. When you die, you don't have to be afraid of death. When you face death, you can be like, I'm going to keep living after this. God's promised me eternal life. I've been saved. And there's a comfort that comes in that knowing that you don't have to fear or doubt, and you can face anything because you have a promise of eternal life through Jesus. And that's a pie you already hold in your hand. And you know what? That could cause you to have a faith that is absolutely unbreakable. Your doubts can be put aside. Your fears can be set over here because you know you are comforted by the fact that God loves you enough that his only son died for you in your place where you belong on that cross. Jesus went there so you can have eternal life. That'll fill you with some faith. That will comfort you and give you a peace. They'll say, Jesus, let's go. Tell me what it is you want me to do. But it doesn't just stop there. See, there's this other part to being comforted by Jesus' love. The Bible says that we love because he first loved us, right? And that people will know that we're following Jesus because we love one another. So when you're comforted by the love of Christ in that way, you know what happens in you? You start to love others with that love and comfort them with that love. People that don't even look like you. People who don't talk like you. Maybe people who speak a different language but live on the same street as you. People who wear camo and you wear skater clothes or whatever, you name it, the differences that tend to jump between us all. None of it is bound by this. This passes over all that. Because he's saying that we'll be known by the way we love. Not just the people who look like you and act like you and think like you and vote like you. It even says to love your enemies. And so this love that Jesus gives us, it's bigger than all those things. And I hope that as you say that you follow Jesus, you're loving the people, all of them, that God has put around you. That you see people and you say, I stinking love you because I know how much Jesus loves you. And I know how much Jesus loves me. And that comfort of his love causes you to show that same love to other people. Not a selective one. One that says everybody needs the love of Christ and I'm here to give it. Like that hug team over there, whoever you are, just come on. You're getting a hug of Jesus right now. We're going to give salvation out by saying, I can introduce you to the one who died for you. Do you want to know him? That's what he's called us to do. The next pie he says here is, any participation in the Spirit. And what this means is that not just like participating, like going to church, it means interaction, like in a relationship. You have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So many people, like especially if you're a Baptist, this is a Baptist church, right? We tend to kind of like sometimes forget how powerful the Holy Spirit is. We don't talk about it as much. Don't forget. Don't forget one second that God is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, and the Holy Spirit lives. He is alive inside of you, guaranteeing you salvation, sealing you as the child of God. You can never lose that. And he's there, and he's like, I'm right here living inside of you. But sometimes we act with the Holy Spirit like we do with our brothers and sisters, like, get out of my room, close the door. Is that my shirt? You know, it's like one of those, like, you stay away. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm right here, hey. I'm inside you. But we ignore him. But this is a pie. This is this amazing thing that Jesus has given you when you trusted in him, that his Spirit lives inside of you and empowers you to live in ways you can't on your own, to do things that are unbelievable that you wouldn't even think up on your own. And God is going to work and he's going to do things that will blow your mind. And he wants you to interact with him, engage with that Holy Spirit, and talk to him, pray, and obey him when he convicts you. when he tells you to do things, when he gives you dreams to dream, he says, go, you follow and say, yes, Lord, I will. I'm scared, but I'm going to go because I trust you. And Paul says, this is an incredible gift that you have because you follow Jesus. And it's already in your hands. It's already yours. You can interact and engage with the Holy Spirit of God. Like I said, with all this craziness in this country, some people feel powerless right now. You get like COVID-19, you get murder hornets, you get all these things. I mean, you constantly look at social media and that's all it talks about. It's all you see. You're like the insanity going on, riots. And some people feel powerless. Like, what do I do to stop that? What do I do to help my world? How do I make a difference in any way? And others feel powerless just because of a sin in their life. They just can't beat, like constantly tempted by that same sin. And they try to say no, but they keep doing the same thing over and over. And they feel like a slave to that sin that they don't want to do anymore, but they just can't stop. And you feel powerless to your own self. And what the Holy Spirit does, it says, I'm giving you power. Whether it be the world outside or the sin and temptation inside, I have the power to conquer sin and death in the world. Engage with him. Ask him for strength. He's yours. He's there. He's the pie in your hand that God said, I've already given you. So engage with him. Let him be your strength. Let him be your power. This last pie, it says, any affection and sympathy. And it's not just like, hey, I feel bad for you type sympathy. But believers will be known by their love for one another. We said that, right? And what this is like tenderness and love. A tenderness that looks at other people and says, man, I deeply and truly care for you. Man, it's hard to find that today, especially today. All you hear are people worrying about themselves. Everybody saying, I need, I want. I'm fighting for this. I want my voice to be heard. I want this. I want that. I want. And the Bible constantly talks about saying, hey, let's be selfless and think of others first, others first, others first. It's the exact opposite of what I hear screaming at every side from the media. And my goal through this series that we're going to walk through called Lose Your Mind is not to tell you what to believe. You have enough people trying to tell you what to believe out there right now. You don't need another voice doing that. But I want to give you some biblical framework for you to look at and believe to help you decide what to believe. So as you look at what God says, you can look at and hear all these voices and see all this stuff and go, I can think for myself using scripture and come to a godly conclusion. You don't need to believe it because Rob does, but you can use scripture to filter that and say, this is what I believe because God says it. That's my goal. And when it says something like this tonight, when it says, if there's any affection and sympathy, this deep tenderness and love for other people, I hope you know that that means everyone. That means the people screaming in your face. That means the people that would spit on your ideals and hate your church. That means even your enemies are people that God is calling you to feel tenderness and love toward. That's a selflessness that puts other people first. And we're going to see that says that same thing in a couple weeks in Jesus' mind. That's how Jesus thinks and what he believes. And so I want to encourage you to be people that they love. You just love. And it's so obvious. Because look what it says here. Look at this next thing. Verse 5 is a verse that goes with verse 1. That's why we're like 1 and 5 tonight, which might seem crazy at first, but Paul wrote it. So these first couple verses match up with these. This is like practically what we have because of what Jesus has, because of Jesus' mind. So here's what we have and here's what Jesus had. So here's what it says in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves. He wants you to take your sinful mind and throw it away. Lose your mind and gain the mind of Jesus. Start to think like him and act like him and feel like him. Make decisions like Jesus because his thoughts are filling your mind because you're reading his word and you're following him and you're saying yes to scary things and you're taking steps of faith and going, God, this Christian life is unbelievable because you are in control of it. I'm getting to spend time with you right now. He says, have this mind. So here's my question. What is your mind like? What's in your head tonight? What are your thoughts? Would they line up with Jesus' thoughts? With his mind? What are the things that you're putting constantly into your head? Are they biblical truths that are going to shape you for the rest of eternity? Or are they garbage from the media and from things that you're watching that are just going to turn your mind to junk? I want to challenge you. Think about what your thoughts are and how they line up with Jesus' mind. Because he tells us to have his mind. I would say some of us, but I don't think that's accurate. I think all of us. Just based on this passage, I would say all of us need to take that sinful mind tonight and every day when we wake up. And we need to throw it down and get rid of it. And ask God in that moment, Lord, today, will you let me have Jesus' mind? Will you let me think like Jesus? Will you let me love people like Jesus? See their value and how amazing every person is. Because Jesus saw them so valuable, he went to a cross. He died for them. Will you help me love people that way? But there's something here. I really don't want you to miss it. Have this mind among yourselves. It doesn't just say, have this mind in you, Rob. He says, among yourselves. He's talking to a group. He's basically saying that Firehouse, as we come together, he wants us to have the mind of Christ. That as you go to school, if I were to go over to MI and meet George in the hallway, I'd be like, George, dude, you are always so loving. Like, what is the deal? Why are you so nice? How come you always sacrifice for other people? It's just, dude, it's noticeable. And he's like, because I love Jesus. And then I go over here to Merritt Island Christian. I see Jason. Like, bro. Why are you so loving? I know another dude just like you. He goes to MI. His name's George. You're like, well, I love Jesus. And I could go around the room and finally people are putting thoughts together and they're like, you guys go to Firehouse, don't you? Like, you guys are a group because you're all the same. You all love this way. What's the deal? And we can say, because Paul says in Philippians 2 that all of us should share the same mind. And that mind is Jesus' mind. So if you find me at MI or at MICS or at Edgewood, you know what's going to happen? You're going to run into the same mindset because we all believe that same thing. We're on the same team. We're unified, not in our own opinions. We're unified because we believe in Jesus. And what he says is more important than what any of us believe. Any of our opinions and differences, this is the most important, and we love like crazy because Jesus does. That's why we look the same in that way. Let you have this mind among yourselves, among Firehouse. And that's become my prayer. As I pastor this youth group, my prayer is that we have this mindset as a youth group, as a family. That when people meet us, they're like, whoa, there's something there and it's not Rob Jones's teaching. I can see Jesus in you guys. Man, that's what I want. That's what I'm praying for you. The last phrase, he says this, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You guys, you already have it. If you follow Jesus and you've trusted in him to save you and forgive of your sin, you've already got all of these pies. You have all of these things that he's saying becomes who you are. It's your identity because Christ is already doing it in you. All he's doing is reminding us that we have it and saying, hey, get up off the couch. Start living for him. Start living out these pies. Enjoy them. They're sweet. They're amazing. Live like Jesus. It will change your life. Will you pray with me? Jesus, thank you that you made the ultimate sacrifice for us. God, I never get tired of talking about it. You died on a cross. You bore my sin so I could be made righteous. Father, we love you and we thank you for that tonight. And we ask you, God, that you would give us your mind. Lord, that we would think like you, that we would have in our hearts desires to live like you, to love other people in unbelievable, incredible ways that people just can't understand. And God, unify us, make us one in that, that together as a family of God, we would love that way. Help us to be leaders in our community, in our families, in our peer groups right now, today. That we would be leading out towards Jesus Christ and towards his name and towards this comfort of love that only he can give. Father, we ask this because we know we can't do it. And Jesus, we know the Holy Spirit can. And so we're saying, Father, let us interact with you right now. Let us get the Holy Spirit's power to do this stuff. As we leave these doors, let us already engage in that. Let us do those things. Don't let these words of your Bible, God, fall on the ground. We know they won't return void. But I pray we would believe them, we would apply them, we would live them out, that as we walk out of this place, God, we're just living the words you told us. We're thinking with the mind that you've given us. God, make a difference tonight in us. And make a difference in the community around us because we're being lights for your gospel, because we're living like you live. Make us your hands and feet. We love you so much, God. It's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.